Welcome to the Africa Speaking Podcast. The podcast discusses critical issues about the African continent. It is brought to you by Taweza Communications in Nairobi.
We return to Kibra to hear more from the heart of the community. I'm your host, Maslin Nyambala. Our guest, Malasen Hamida, continues to share the inspiring narrative of the Mazingira Women's Initiative and their profound impact on mitigating climate change within their informal settlement. Let's connect with their resilience and determination. So are there some initiatives in Kibra that we can say this is something that maybe Nakuru County can learn from?
There's a lot. Wow. For instance, the urban farming.
Yeah.
Yes, urban farming, we actually installed the vertical gardens in almost 9 groups in Kibra. And that is something that can actually be adapted. We did it in Kibra and Mathare. So Nakuru County can actually also borrow the same practice, whereby somebody doesn't need a very big space for them to have their own food and own vegetables and to have a green space. You know, even the agricultural produce produces the clean air that we require. Yes. And the solid waste management as well, the recycling of waste.
You talked about the informal settlements.
Yes.
In Nakuru.
There are informal settlements. For instance, I would say that Kaptembwa is also a place where is more or less similar, like the informal settlements that we have. They equally have a challenge with the solid waste management. They have heap of garbage, whereby the garbage can actually be turned, can actually be recycled as well.
Okay.
To produce for a circular industrial economy, whereby it can also be a place, a project that can be used to curb youth unemployment. Yes. So those are the things that are happening in Nairobi. They can also be replicated in Nakuru. And we know Nakuru is also an urban area. It's a city like Nairobi. And within the urban areas, food always comes from the peri-urban or even the rural areas. So if we see so much of urbanites producing food, it will increase the level of food security. And it will enhance food security because for the urban areas, we don't depend on rain-fed agriculture. We depend on the little water that we have, and we water our vegetables with the maybe tap water or even recycled water. So that is, those are the frontiers to see that food is produced and in a clean and well-managed environment.
When you're talking about recycled water, which water can you recycle?
You can recycle water, for instance, the water from the grey water. We call it grey water from the kitchen. Yes, even the water that you wash the clothes with can also be recycled.
It's only the farming.
To farming.
Yeah.
It's only the water from the latrines.
Okay.
Those are, we call it black water. Those are the waters maybe will need a serious recycling process.
The water from washing, would you recycle? Is it for the final rinse or even the soap one?
Even the soap one. The soap one can also be recycled. There's a way it can be recycled.
How do you recycle?
Ash, yes, you can pour ash on it and then it can be stored for about a day or two. And then that water is will be ready for.
So even the ash that you get from your jiko is also something one should keep.
Absolutely. Ash is one of the very most important products within the recycling and the storage as well.
For briquettes,
yes.
for water cleaning,
and I remember
for storage.
In the ancient times, even the cereals was actually stored.
That is another indigenous knowledge.
That is also another indigenous knowledge.
Ash is a very valuable.
Because the old mamas, those with the jikos, those who are using a charcoal, and those who want to keep pests and odor from the garbage away, they use the ash.
Because you've accumulated knowledge, what can the learning institutions, what can they learn from you? Or what role can they play in the whole environment and climate change adaptations, mm-hmm. whether it is universities, secondaries, and maybe begin by telling us mm-hmm. what you have done with them so far.
Universities and schools can play a key role. Let me start with the higher, the academia mm-hmm. and the higher institution, learning institution of learning. Mm-hmm. They can actually do a lot of research. Research also can be done. Mm-hmm. And new innovations. Innovations can actually be done mm-hmm. with the academia and the higher institution of learning
yeah.
on how best we can adapt to climate change mm-hmm. because it's a new phenomenon and a lot is happening mm-hmm. and there's a challenge within the social understanding and the scientific understanding of climate change.
These are political.
And the community to actually understand mm-hmm. that climate change is part and parcel of their daily lives.
Mm.
So the social understanding will come in if the academia will do more research
mm.
and also there's a lot of sensitization for the people yeah. to actually integrate the climate change effects and the real life
yeah.
Scenarios.
Mm.
So academia, we've worked with so many students within the universities.
Mm.
We've partnered in the tree planting with the students.
Mm.
I've been interviewed so much with the students who are doing their thesis in urban farming, mm. hydroponics. Several students have come to Mazingira for interviews.
Mm.
So those are some of the work that we've done with the higher institution of learning. But then within the secondary and primary,
yeah.
we've done a lot of tree planting.
Mm.
Okay, we planted trees in public schools,
mm.
that is public primary and public secondaries, because those are the schools with the spaces.
Then the schools normally cooperate?
They do.
Okay.
They do cooperate. And I'm grateful that now even the administration, yeah. the schools,
mm.
even the CBC in the curriculum,
mm.
there's environmental studies.
Mm.
So it's now a practice mm. in schools
mm.
that trees have to be planted
yeah.
and vegetables have to be grown.
Oh,
so
okay.
at that level, it is a plus for us mm. because it's easier to partner with schools.
Yeah.
We notify them if we do have seedlings, and then different schools have got environmental teachers yeah. and environmental clubs. So okay. these are the platforms that we use within the schools and the administration.
You mentioned also hospitals?
Yeah, sure.
Wow.
Even in institutions okay. like hospitals, we've planted trees in Mbagathi Hospital and Mama Lucy.
Mm.
Yeah, those are institutions also which have spaces.
Mm.
Yes, it's about space. Basically, within the urban areas, it's about space.
Yeah.
Yes, whenever there is space, we partner with those with space to see how best we can grow trees. But in hospitals, we specifically just do fruits.
Ben, what are some of the gender dynamics that you're noticing in this work,
mm-hmm.
the climate change work that you're doing
mm-hmm.
in Kibra?
Previously, it's only the youth who are engaging
mm-hmm.
in solid waste management.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's part of the nature-based solutions of environment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only the youth that were dealing with garbage collection and transportation and disposal.
Mm-hmm.
Women were left behind.
Mm-hmm.
So as an organization, we felt we should drop in women
mm-hmm.
to allow them to realize their importance mm-hmm. and their role in mm. the solid waste management,
mm.
because a majority with no biases, waste is produced at within the home level, within the kitchens,
mm.
okay, and a majority of people in the kitchen are women.
Mm.
In fact, even if there is a home within yeah. the contemporary society that has got, it's only men-led houses, like bachelor's houses,
mm.
still the waste is produced in the kitchen.
Mm.
So I felt women should actually be part and parcel
mm.
of solid waste management. Mm. That is the cleaning, sorting of waste, and actually collection of waste.
Okay.
If not just disposal, just collection, to enable somebody to collect and recycle the waste. Okay. And also our purpose was to actually educate them.
Mm.
on how to recycle the little waste they have. Because we do have the papers. They can use the papers in different purposes. They can repurpose the waste, the papers. They can repurpose the food waste they produce. Okay? By actually using them to do their own urban farms. So if at all it's excessive, they'll have plastic waste currently. Okay? They can actually separate the waste and enable the collectors to use them.
You mentioned that it was the young men that were originally so much in the collection and waste management. But this is now improving.
It is now improving.
Even
now,
the older women?
The older women are within the spaces.
Yeah, okay.
In fact, we see within the climate works, it is a new, it's actually a project by the government to see that rivers are cleaned. Initially, it was for the youth to get the opportunities to clean the rivers. But then it was opened up for even women of older age. So the women within the climate works, some are not even youth. They are just older women.
They're all involved. Tell us more about the cleanup of the Nairobi rivers.
It is a new discourse with a new department. We are commission, actually. It's actually a commission, Nairobi Rivers Commission. And as organizations that live around the rivers and the tributaries, usually in informal settlement, the rivers are used as the dam sites. In fact, some of the young people, if you find a child and you ask, what is this? They will not tell you it's a river. They will tell you it's a sewage. Okay? There's a lot of sewer that passes through the rivers and the tributaries, the streams. And so we felt the bulk of the emission and bulk of odor comes from the rivers and the streams. So that is why we would engage in a river cleanup. And thanks to the commission, there's now need to regenerate the rivers, to make it the river that anyone would want to have around their homes, next to their homes. Yes, there are plans and proposals to see that they are actually clean, and their houses are wonderful houses. There are green spaces around. The walking lanes, recycling, you find even material recovery centers, waste management plants can actually be put up along the river, the riparian of the rivers. Those are some of the ways to utilize the riparian in a correct way and in dignified way. So thanks to the commission in coordinating and connecting with the communities and the local organizations that are working along the river lines to see that the regeneration is actually at its best.
Are we making headway?
Yes, we did mapping, mapping of organizations along the river, those who are actually working within the rivers. And to this level, a lot of engagements are happening. In fact, there is public participation meetings to see how best proposals can be found. The community can actually go and give their proposals on how best the riparian can be managed. There's also the issue of social housing that can be put along the river lines, the riparian, to see that, because within the informal settlements, a majority of people live up to the bank of the rivers. And with the heavy rains, we've seen lives have been lost, properties lost as a result of people living close to the river and the water breaking the banks and actually getting into the homes. So we've seen the devastating effects of river within the informal settlement, even within the upmarket. We've seen those who actually have put house on the waterways. We've seen their house, their homes flooding to the level that they're actually equally getting losses, like the people within the informal settlement.
Those who are on the waterways.
So with the climate change issues, we are looking at rains that will be coming. The rains will be more. And it will be devastating if at all there is no clear pathway for the water, storm water, to actually move. So those are some of the ways to see that riparian lands are actually left to ensure that the water get proper pathways, not actually getting into the homes, because we've lost a lot of lives. They live in Kibra and all the areas along the river ways.
I think that's very important work on preserving the water pathways and the riparian land. Now, looking at legislation, the policies that accompany the work or support the work that you are doing, are you satisfied that we are having adequate, the policies are working? What would be your take?
Policies are working. We have a lot of legislations, and we are part of the system that we've adapted. The ratified laws that have been passed within the international or regional spaces. We have locally crafted laws within the counties. We have national laws that are working. We have policies. We have climate change acts within almost every county in Kenya. They have climate action act. We have even the plans. We have national determined goals. Those are the internationals. And then we have, there are so many laws.
There are so many laws.
Yes. And even Solid Waste Management Act, which is from the national level, the National Assembly. And we have cascaded to the county assemblies, whereby those are those laws are very helpful. And when you look at the climate change plans and climate change action plan, there is a green finance, green financing in line with the act. So we have FLOCA. FLOCA is for community-led organizations doing climate change. So those are some of the funds that can actually support in the process of building resilience and climate action. We also have NEMA, Net Fund. Net Fund also supports different organizations and institutions in ensuring that the climate actions goes on within the different locations and localities.
So the NEMA Net Fund, they're able to give the CBOs?
They're those CBOs that usually succeed in getting it.
In getting the funds.
Yes. And the FLOCA for Nairobi is 3 months old. It's new. But then we've seen in different other counties, it's working. And many organizations are also accessing the funds. And they're doing a lot with it in line with the building resilience in climate change issues.
How can organizations or individuals get more resources to do this climate work?
Partnerships are very key.
Yeah.
Because, for instance, for Mazingira, we are not getting financial support, but we are getting support from, for instance, county government. When we have events, planting, tree planting events, we partner with county governments and they provide us with seedlings. So that is a support.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a support as well. And there are institutions where we partner as well. And they fund our events.
We've partnered
with many organizations and they've funded one or two events within our organizations and we're grateful, yes.
All right.
Like Crown Trust.
Yes. What would be your parting shot now as we close? What is this thing that you may want to advise, even generally, from the work that you do?
Well, climate change effects is with us. It's our responsibility to look for ways to adapt and mitigate.
Yeah,
because we live with it, we are already feeling it, and hence what we need to do is look for adaptation mechanism to see that our lives are better within the climate change effects. And we don't have any other planet to go to.
Yeah.
And we need to conserve our environment to have a sustainable future for our children and for ourselves.
And that concludes our impactful two-part series with Malasen Hamida, narrating the incredible work of the Mazingira Women Initiative in Kibra. Thank you for joining me, Maslin Nyambala, as we amplified their vital voices.
Thank you for listening to the Africa Speaking Podcast. Join us in our next episode brought to you by Twaweza Communications in partnership with Forum Sieve. For any comments and views, you can reach us through our website, www.africaspeaking.org. You can also reach us on Facebook, Toiza Communications, or on our X handle, @ToizaComs. You can also write to us on email, info@africaspeaking.org.